Maybe the best thing about a record reissue is that it gets you to listen to old music in a new context. And sometimes your opinion changes. The Fleetwoods have a new Best Of collection on Rhino Records. It includes their hits Mr. Blue and Come Softly to Me, two of the top 10 hits of 1959. I thought they were okay in 1959, but I was surprised by how much I liked them in 1990. We invited Gary Troxell of the Fleetwoods to join us from station KUOW in Seattle, about 60 miles from his home. Gary, Gretchen Christopher, and Barbara Ellis started harmonizing together in high school in Olympia, Washington.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue.
Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true.
But if you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you love me,
Mr. Blue,
then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true.
Call me Mr. Blue. I'm Mr.
Gary, when was the last time the Fleetwoods performed together?
Oh, good question. I think it had to have been the late, middle 70s, an oldie show in Florida, I think, Miami.
Now, do you still perform by yourself?
Yes.
Do you use,
I have two new girls.
Two new girls?
Yes, two different girls.
So do you use the name The Fleetwoods?
Yes.
Well, how do Barbara and Gretchen feel about that?
Barbara doesn't feel anything about it, and Gretchen feels everything, and we're discussing that through our attorneys.
Oh, is Gretchen suing you because you're using the name The Fleetwoods?
She threatens.
Mm-hmm. Tell me the story of how you started singing with Barbara and Gretchen.
Well, originally they were, I think they got put a group together of girls only in Olympia about the time that I moved to Olympia from Carmel, California. And they had written, I don't know if they'd written Come Softly at that time, but they might have been kicking it around. And they wanted some additional music, I guess, for their group. And they tried the local band, and they didn't like that. And so the band suggested me on my trumpet, which in the end turned out to be kind of silly. Two girls' voices and the trumpet didn't quite make any kind of sense. So I was humming along, and that seemed to work a little better, and we sang songs like Sincerely and In the Still of the Night, that stuff. And as far as my part mixing with what the two girls had written for Come Softly is just about like the liner notes say on Rhino's new CD. We were standing on a corner, and I was doing my thing, only I was doing it about three times as fast. It was kind of a jazz thing. And Gretchen said, well, slow that down. That sounds like it'd fit what Barb and I have written, and that's how that happened.
So did you come up with the dum doobie doos?
Yes, I did.
Doobie doo dum 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 doo dum 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 doobie doo dum 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 doo dum.
Softly, darling, come to me, stay. You're my obsession forever and a day.
I want you to know I love you so. Please hold me so tight all through the night.
I spend Speak softly, darling.
How did the soft style that you had fit in with the times in the late 50s?
That's probably one of the reasons that we became popular, or I think anyway. We were such a difference, such a shock to the rock and roll. There were, well, I suppose our harmonies and our, we have a lot of modern harmonies in our singing. But I think that was one of the things that helped us, was the softness. It's like night and day, kind of.
When you started recording, did you work out the arrangements yourself? Did the producer help with that?
Well, we wrote, well, we didn't actually write anything.
Work out the arrangements, I should say.
Yeah, we worked them out vocally, so that I guess you could say we were the vocal arrangers on almost everything. There was lots of songs that we wanted to sing that we couldn't, because if it was okay for me, it would be difficult, or if it was a certain key for me to, so I could sing the range of the whole song, it might be difficult for the girls because of their harmony parts. And so there's lots of songs that we couldn't do.
What are your memories of touring in 1959?
I hated it.
Why?
Because I was homesick. I had never been away from home, and I thought it was terrible, even with the girls. And Bob Reisdorf went along with us, and he was actually acting as our manager and road manager and publicist and everything else. He ran the company here in Seattle.
Who are some of the performers that you shared the bill with when you were touring?
Well, it was kind of interesting that it seemed like always be the same people. And I think that's because we were hooked up with a Dick Clark group. I don't know if they called it that at the time, but it seemed like it was Frankie Avalon, Paul Anka, Bobby Rydell, Connie Francis, and they were almost always on the same show. If we were anywhere, they were there. We sang with our first color television show was in Boston, and that was with Johnny Mathis.
Let me play some of The Great Imposter, one of the songs that you recorded in 1961. Did you choose this? Was this chosen for you?
Oh, yes. Well, it was written for us.
Oh, it was written for you?
Yeah, by Jackie D. Shannon and Sharon Sheely. And it was one that we could do, so we did it.
Well, I went and lost her to the great imposter. I stood and watched her fall. So sweet has her at his feet. She thinks she's the one, but he has just begun. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great imposter. Don't she know he's on a stage? It's not real, it's just a play.
Now, the Fleetwoods broke up in, what, 1966?
Yeah, that's about right.
How come? What happened?
Well, number one, the record company did not renew our contract, and I've read that the British invasion kind of shoved people like us aside, and that could be very true because we didn't have anything on the charts by that time. So I guess we all went our own way.
What did you do after the Fleetwoods broke up? How did you make your living?
I went to work in a plywood mill in Anacortes. And during that time, that was for about 11 years, and during that time I did record with the help of Bonnie Guitar. Through her I recorded a record for Dot that didn't do much. It was kind of a country tune. It didn't do anything, but it was released at least. And eventually I got into the Longshore Union, ILWU, in Anacortes, which takes quite a while. I ended up waiting 16 years to get in there.
In the Longshoremen's Union?
Yes. That's what I'm doing now.
So you're still a longshoreman?
Yes.
But you're also performing. What, did you perform on weekends or what?
Yeah, that's just about all right now.
What has the new compact disc made you think about when you listened back to it for the first time?
Oh, the first thing I thought of was, how could they do this and make it sound so clear? Because I remember we would rustle paper, we could hear breathing, we could hear the other person's breathing, or we could hear Bonnie played guitar real quietly over in the corner to kind of keep us in rhythm. And you could hear her fingers sliding on the strings. But that's all gone in the CD. It's amazing. It's like come from outer space or something.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Gary Troxell, The Best of the Fleetwoods is on Rhino Records.
I'll never be the one to part. You found a place here in my heart. Go have your fun. I'll have my fun. Run around. I'll never leave you.
This is Fresh Air.